This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody, my name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And welcome to another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. Ryan, what's going down today?
Today we are going to meet a fellow Toastmaster. We're going to be chatting today with Nita Patel. Nita was featured in a member profile in the December 2014 issue of the Toastmaster magazine. She is from New Hampshire. She's a professional engineer, a member of two Toastmasters clubs, and a distinguished Toastmaster. Please help me welcome Nita Patel.
Welcome, Nita.
Hi.
How's it going today?
Pretty good. How about you?
We are doing great here, Nita. So you are an engineer, as I said. What type of engineering do you do?
My background is electrical engineering. Today, I do what we call systems engineering for military applications. I bring together the optical, mechanical, electronic, software, all the different disciplines into a product or system. Our particular focus here is night vision equipment for our soldiers, and so it's really exciting to be able to develop something.
Wow, that's nice. That's some of the cool technology, the cool stuff that you see in the movies.
Yes.
Right, I'm thinking
actually the movie Zero Dark Thirty has several of our goggle systems featured in there. So we have a bunch of posters at various places in the hallway.
Oh, neat.
Very cool. Nice. I've been doing some Christmas shopping lately, and at Target, I see this Spy Gear line of toys. Is that something that your company has created? There are night vision goggles there.
I guess we can say we sparked the idea. In a sense. Not that we make commercial equipment. We really focus on special ops forces, so it's really the high-end avant-garde sort of work. But I'm sure somebody saw what we did and said, hey, I can make this, you know, cheaper, better, faster for a commercial application.
Gotcha. So right. Your package products say 18 and up.
Yes.
Requires adult supervision.
And no assembly required or
batteries not
included.
We
do use a lot of batteries.
So
people
you do.
Have to provide their own.
Right. Cool. So, Nita, as the article in the Toastmaster magazine points out, as a woman in the engineering profession, you are in the minority. I'm curious, what would you estimate is the percent ratio male-female in your profession?
Actually, I don't need to estimate too much. I've done a lot of research in this, and it's one of my passion areas. So in electrical engineering, which, by the way, is the lowest percentage or the highest ratio of male to female, the number of women is hovering around 11%. If you get into some of the other engineering disciplines like computer science, software engineering, or biomedical engineering, you could go anywhere from 20 to 30, all the way up to like maybe 35% or something. So it's a different ratio than what you would expect.
Hmm. Wow. Do you think that gives you an advantage, or do you think you're still at a disadvantage being in that 11%?
I don't really consider the being a minority an advantage or disadvantage. I think really ultimately things boil down to how well you as an individual do on the job. I do know that one of the reasons I'm very passionate about this topic is that even though we try to think of people as individuals, all of us can't but help but think of those individuals as parts of groups. And so there are definitely biases and stereotypes against certain types of groups, or maybe for certain types of groups, and connecting them with types of skills. And I think that's one of the generally heard disadvantages for women in engineering, is that it's not considered a very female type of profession. And so in a sense, it's a disadvantage because people don't automatically come to you to ask for your input or advice or feedback. On the other hand, it's also an advantage because when you can demonstrate that you know what you're talking about, people sometimes are a little surprised, whereas a man doing the same thing probably wouldn't be considered a big deal. But even doing, you know, your daily work, someone might say, wow, that was pretty cool, just only because you're a woman. Hmm.
So, Nita, if I can paint in broad strokes a little bit here as well. I guess it might be fair to say that engineers aren't typically known to be among the best communicators if we were to look at all the the different professions. That's not something they're known for as stellar communication skills. What's your experience been? Maybe I'm totally wrong in terms of communication among engineers, and how has your, I'll say, competitive advantage as a Toastmaster played in the workplace?
I think stereotypes exist because in the norm, most people fall into that, right? If you look at the curves, and I'm an engineer, so I'm going to talk in curves. Like if you look at a Gaussian distribution, the most of engineers are not stellar communicators, and that's why that stereotype exists. So I think my Toastmasters experience has really set me apart, and I believe it's given me opportunities to take on larger roles, more team leadership roles, moving into a systems engineering role, moving into running a functional organization. I'm the manager for the systems engineering group here and software engineering group. So I think you get that extra edge to be able to understand, and a lot of leadership is about communication. So my Toastmasters experience sets me apart in that way, and my background with the technology and the understanding of the technology gives me a different type of edge in a business environment, because I can sort of sometimes act like a translator. I can take the very complex details and be able to pull out the concise summary and high-level elements from having done this in Toastmasters, having given evaluations, having given speeches, being able to comprehend the data, but then pull out the essentials and communicate it to the larger business community and the organization.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of people overlook that advantage from Toastmasters and public speaking. It's not just about speaking in front of a group, but it is about being able to take the information and being able to communicate it to an audience, even if it is just an audience of one.
Exactly right. And I think one of the elements of Toastmasters promotions that I cringe at is when people say, oh, it's a public speaking group. And I always cringe at that, because it truly is a communication and leadership group. Communication isn't necessarily just public speaking. Communication is being able to really get your idea across. And I sometimes feel we dissuade people by telling them it's a public speaking organization, because not everybody wants to become a public speaker, but they do want to become better communicators.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I could definitely say that because of Toastmasters, my ability to leave voice messages is awesome now. I could call somebody up. Oh, yeah, I could call somebody up and I could leave a message, and it's articulate and it's clear, and I hang up and I'm very proud of it. I don't keep on pressing that two button to redo. The first take, that's it.
You should brand yourself somehow with that, Bo.
The voicemail man.
Yeah. Official voicemail guru. Or
right. That's right. If you don't want to leave a voicemail, you call Bo and Bo will leave it for you.
Outsource your voicemail. So, Nita, if we can take it back to the beginning for you in terms of Toastmasters, I understand you attended your first meeting in 2001. What was your motivation for attending? Did you feel you needed to improve your communication, or was it just a strength you already had that you wanted to improve? And what was your experience at that first meeting?
It was definitely to improve my communication. I would say in 2001, I was the more traditional, stereotypical engineer, very introverted, not that I'm not introverted anymore, but I wasn't really outgoing enough to go and speak in front of folks or to even be able to articulate my ideas, just because I was so nervous. Not that I didn't know what I was talking about or know my information, I was just too nervous. And I had attended a leadership seminar for women in technology, and one of the participants at that seminar recommended Toastmasters as an ability and a way to be able to get up in front of the group and give your presentation or your discussion. So I thought about it for a little bit and I decided to go, because I definitely needed that level to be able to take my career to a different level. I could have continued in an engineering role, but I wouldn't have been able to take on larger roles without that extra ability to discuss, to speak, to pull together ideas and be able to convey that meaning. So when I went to my first meeting, it was really nice. I went to Toastmasters of Manchester here in New Hampshire, and it was just a really nice, friendly group. I think all of the clubs I've ever been to or visited have been of that nature, and that's one of the really fabulous elements of Toastmasters is people are truly supportive. They really want to encourage and invite people that are coming in the door. And I'm proud to be part of that type of an organization. So when I first went and I got this positive response, and I don't think I even did a table topics because I'm like, why would I get in front of you and talk? I don't even know you. And, you know, this is very much outside my comfort zone, but people made me very comfortable. So today, if you compare how talkative I am, and I can keep going, as I'm sure some of the listeners will have heard, Toastmasters DTM is don't time me or don't, you know, tell me to shut up, because we can keep going and going. That first meeting was not the case. It was, I don't want to get up. I don't want to say anything. Slowly I evolved into joining and becoming part of the group. And now I guess I'm on the other extreme.
What I think is fantastic is that not only have you taken what you've learned in Toastmasters and used it to help you grow your career and to grow as a professional, but I know that you've been involved on the leadership side with some of the various professional organizations that you're associated with. And here's the part I'm really excited about, that you wrote, I believe it was 3 ebooks related to...
4, Ryan.
Sorry, was it 4?
I thought it was 4.
Related to writing and delivering technical presentations. Can you tell us about your books a little bit?
Yeah, I am a volunteer in IEEE, which is the Institute of Electronics and Electrical Engineers. Part of that volunteer role was a vice president of communications and public awareness. One of the elements I felt was missing in a lot of engineers is that ability to communicate. And one of the, maybe a year or so before, I had gone through the technical presentations advanced manual, and I thought, this is what people need, especially in a technical field, how to take complex data, how to take complex and abstract ideas and be able to share them, because engineers are really great at coming up with that, but then we don't always get them across and get them into the right people's hands and the right areas of knowledge. So I decided to create these ebooks, and there were 4 of them to help the engineering community. I don't get any money for that. Everything goes to IEEE. It was sort of a part of my volunteer give back to the organization, but also to help others learn from what I had learned through Toastmasters. At that point, I had been in Toastmasters for maybe almost a decade, and so I felt I had knowledge I could share. I decided to write the books, and I have gotten feedback from people who read the books, and it's nice to get the feedback. I think sometimes that's worth more than whatever they would have paid for the book, but it's really rewarding to see that Toastmasters experience can set you up to do something, but then also to teach others. It doesn't always have to be teaching in the Toastmasters environment. It could be teaching even outside.
Sure, sure. Yeah, what you're talking about with this communication issue, I guess, with engineers, it's really larger than that in all of science. Scientists are pretty much notorious for not being able to communicate effectively, and there are entire courses in colleges on science communication. Is there any such courses for engineering specifically, like engineering communication?
Absolutely. There's all sorts of technical writing, technical presentation. And sometimes I think because engineers and technical writers prepare those courses, they miss the element of having to also be human in conveying your information. And that's one of the nice things about Toastmasters, especially when you go to a meeting, you see such diversity of people, but they all have to be human in the sense they have to use examples, provide stories, help me relate to it, even though I'm not in their profession. And I think one of the elements I felt was missing from some of the courses that are available or the training you can take at a university is it tells me how to write a good paper, it tells me how to maybe put together a business proposal, but it doesn't tell me how can I share my idea truly with somebody else and get them inspired by it and to get passionate about it and explain it in simple ways, even though it may be very complex.
Gotcha.
Now, Nita, do you do presentations at conferences, professional conferences?
I do. This past couple of years, I've been the international chair for Women in Engineering, so I've had the opportunity to travel quite a lot. But in addition to the travel, I do a lot of video presentations because it's just not possible to be everywhere all the time. So I prepare video presentations for conferences talking about the importance of encouraging and engaging more women in science and technology. But also the other topic I frequently speak about is how can scientists and engineers be better communicators? And I really appreciate those because it allows me to blend both of my Toastmasters as well as my IEEE experiences together and bring value to the attendees. At least I hope I'm bringing value.
Right. So are those video presentations, are those done live or are they pre-recorded?
I pre-record them. Uh-huh. I sort of set up a mini studio in the back room in my house. We have lots of books, so, you know, they make a nice backdrop to books. And then I just pre-record them, send them to the conference committee organizers, and they play them.
And how's that experience been for you of staring into a blank computer screen that's not giving you any feedback? Did you find that challenging, or any tricks that you've come up with to help you make sure you're keeping the energy level up and staying engaging when you're not having audience energy to feed off?
That's a really good point, and that is something I've learned. And I'm really glad I started doing these video elements because it's stretched me, it's moved me into a different part of a comfort zone. A few weeks ago in October, I had gone to a conference and presented at a group that was at Intel. And I came back, I had my Toastmasters meeting the next day, and I gave the same speech again. One of the comments I made is, I missed you guys. I missed that feedback. I missed the immediate, here's what you could do better. Here's how it really resonated with me. And just even though the audience was there, the feedback was missing. And so when I don't have the audience and when I'm doing the video, it's two elements that are missing. Not only do I get that immediate response of, am I on track? Are people understanding? Am I talking too fast, going too slow? But even beyond that, I don't get that feedback after having delivered the presentation. So it's definitely different. I would encourage people to try it, especially these days as we're doing this podcast. You do a lot that is not necessarily face-to-face. If you're giving webinars or you're doing a chat online or something, if you haven't done it before, you're not going to feel comfortable the first couple of times, and you're not going to feel comfortable even after maybe five times. So I really encourage others to do that. One of our clubs here in Manchester actually had a member in France and a member in Orlando, and we did have Skype as well as presentations via the web. And we've also tried to do like a virtual meeting where we just all dial in and present. So it's really a great way to expand those skills.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, it sounds like your club's doing some innovative things there. As we approach the end of the podcast here, Nita, another question I just really wanted to ask you is, as a distinguished Toastmaster, you've no doubt not only spoken quite a heck of a lot at the club level, but also at the district level and presumably in different district leadership positions. How would you compare the experience speaking to Toastmasters audiences, which, as we've noted, tend to be very friendly and supportive and encouraging, to speaking, let's say, in the workplace to an audience or at some of the different professional societies?
I would say that, in general, audiences all around want you to succeed, and they're very supportive. The dilemma might be in Toastmasters, people just accept what you have to say, whereas if you're speaking to a specific group, you're going to have people challenging what you have to say. They're not just accepting it because it's a more focused group. They're probably in the same line of business. If you're at a conference or if you're at work, they already have some background and history. So they're not coming into the presentation without some level of preconceived ideas. Whereas in Toastmasters, I think when you speak, it's not that the audience is different in the sense of accepting. It's just that they have a very different background. And so they tend not to be as challenging. Not that the outside audience wants to be challenging. It's just that they just have more information. And so you have to be more coherent. You have to be more concise. You have to be more precise, too, in what you're saying. As in Toastmasters, people just accept a little, to some extent, what you have to say.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, Nita, we want to thank you so much for being on with us. This has been great. It's been wonderful learning more about you. So thank you very much for sharing all this information with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. It's really a lot of fun.
All righty. You take care.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Nita.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.